Welcome to Feminists Without Mystique, a podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting fire hose of bullshit in the news through an unapologetically feminist lens. We'll begin by venting about the news, go deep, so deep, on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines of the segment we call We See You, and then we'll end with something hopeful. We are recording this on the eve of the 2018 midterms. We're anxious messes. How you feeling, Maria?
I'm feeling so, so anxious.
Mm-hmm.
My nerves are a real mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed on YouTube today, both Obama and Biden have very hoarse voices, and I feel like their voices are mirroring my raggedy soul.
Truly.
Yeah.
Well, because the stakes are so high, we say all the time, always, no matter what our opinions are on any election, but the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
Though really, you know, for straight white cis men who make under what most people make, so shout out, dudes. But particularly for women, people of color, LGBTQ community, disabled folks, immigrants, it's just, and everyone says there's never been more on the line, but in my lifetime, there certainly hasn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where my anxiety stems from, is just this feeling of we've already lost so much, or maybe not necessarily lost it, but it is at, there's the fear of it being lost. There's a very real world in which it is lost based off of everything that's been happening. And it just makes my little heart nervous. And also I'm losing my voice. So let me join the, let me join Joe and Barack.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, if we don't, at a minimum, win the House back handily, this is going to be seen as the country essentially saying that everything that's happened in the last 2 years of the Trump administration is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not just okay, not just acceptable, but something that they would like to see continued for the next at least 2 years. That is what happens when you put Republicans back in the House and Republicans get to keep control of both houses of Congress. They get to control the investigations and they get to control who sits on the Supreme Court. They get to control the way that we are taxed and the voting systems and who gets health care. And it's going to be no one's fault but our own. If we don't take the House back, I am at a loss for words, because it is going to be, it would be so devastating and so unacceptable and such a point of no return.
I would agree with you. Good debate. particularly because of what the Republican Party is/isn't anymore. The party of the olden days is no longer. This is not a party of constitutionalists who are defending X, Y, and Z. I'm hopeful that's why so many people have left the party, is because it's turned, the people in charge now and the things that are getting, you know, greenlit and having all this, you know, positive acclaim now are just purely racist and or sexist and or all these other terrible things. And that's what that's what makes me really nervous about it, is it feels as if it's a new Republican Party. not the party of John McCain no more. And again, I would disagree with him on most of his policy issues, but, and a lot of my liberal friends would be like, fuck you for agreeing with him on anything. But I do think that he was a good man who genuinely did his best to listen to other people. And, you know, it's not about John McCain, but I feel as if we have fully lost this, like, dialogue between parties in any, like, meaningful way. And if the Republican Party wins this time, it is not the Republican Party I grew up with, which I still would disagree with, and but in a civil way where we see each other as human beings and understand or try to where the other one is coming from. If Republicans win this time around, it feels as if that is lost, and what has won is this gross white nationalist garbage that is just going to railroad most of the people in this country into horrible circumstances. I don't know. There's no articulate way to put it in my mind. It's just, what are we doing? Where have we? Mm-hmm. It feels like it would be the loss of decency, because the Republican Party that would be winning this election is not the Republican Party that it used to be. It is not any longer about, like, fiscally, where do you land here? Right now, it feels like the emergency setting. Like, when you drive down roads and you're going camping and you're looking at the fire alerts, you're like, oh no, it's a red fire alert. Like, we're on the red fire alert right now, and I don't want the entire forest of our world to blow. This is a very poorly thought out metaphor.
But following.
But you know what I mean. It feels so different. It is so different. If Republicans win this time around, there's a new Republican Party, and it does not speak for the people in any way. And it speaks for white nationalism and racism, which, you know, same thing, sexism, anti-immigrant, it's just what it would mean. And also, you know, maybe the end of democracy, Russian bots, all these things. It's terrifying. You know, it doesn't feel like in the past it did feel, even when I've always felt the same, pretty much the same way politically, but it felt like people arguing what they believed was right. And that's still the case in a sense, but what the arguments are no longer about, like, well, I think this tax measure or this bill or this or that will lead us to this better place as a country or as a community. Now it feels like racist garbage humans versus the rest of us, which I know what that sounds like, but I truly feel like that is where we're at. And I don't see any information or data to get me feel otherwise.
Yeah.
I don't know, Riri.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that what we are desperately craving and what we thought would at least be a part of the Trump administration was a baseline of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I still thought, even when Trump was elected, that there would be congressional checks. Mm-hmm. I thought that people like Paul Ryan, who even though I loathe him.
You love him. No, she loves him. She's always loathed him, for the record.
even though I've loathed him for, you know, ever since I became aware of him and he was running with Romney, I thought that he had a respect for the institution of Congress, mm-hmm. For the checks and balances that are part of what makes this democracy special, mm-hmm. And function in a way that is reserved and progress moves forward at a slower pace than we would like sometimes because it's reserved. But that also means that the worst instincts that presidents have, that the executive branch has, are also checked because we're supposed to have, you know, cooler heads prevail in the Senate and, you know, maybe not the House, not necessarily, but, you know, it's two governing bodies that are in place to rein in the executive when it's necessary. And we have had someone who has openly admitted, Paul Ryan admits, like, haha, I have to, like, go to my, you know, from my, I have to go into my office and ignore the press and then pretend that I didn't read the president's tweets. It's like that's a joke that he is comfortable making. And then he openly will say to the press, oh, I didn't have a chance to see that. And it's like, we know that you're lying because you are keenly attuned to every little thing in the Obama administration. You know, so that's Paul Ryan in the House. But then we have Mitch McConnell in the Senate, who is a historic obstructionist and someone who will go down in history as being one of the worst things that ever happened to the U.S. Senate.
If we have history.
Yeah, I mean, no, he and we'll get into him another time. I will not allow myself to get dragged into a Mitch McConnell mess tonight. But just that these two men represent such a disappointment and a disillusionment that I have felt over the last 2 years. I did not expect anything from Trump. I never did. But I expected better from them.
Me too. My version of it. I watched The View. Meghan McCain is somebody who I almost always disagree with, and I almost always am glad that I've heard her opinion on things because she stands by her beliefs, and she is a very sort of traditional conservative in a lot of ways. But it's also open. I don't know. She's open to things. She listens to things. I disagree with her almost all of the time. And that's the kind of Republican I used to, like, not hate, but, like, low-key be like, oh, I'm so annoyed by them because their opinion is different from mine. And nowadays, I'm like, I love you. I want you to be around all the time. I want reasonable people on the right because otherwise, where else are they going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it feels like we've lost the Republican Party, which if you'd asked me in the past, I'd be like, I'm not going to cry about that. You know, like, fuck them. But
yeah.
These are again, pinch me. These are generally, like, good human beings that have beliefs founded in something, willing to talk about them, and just represent a different viewpoint with a good intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is what we're losing. We're losing a different viewpoint with a good intention in the favor of an awful viewpoint with an awful intention or no intention or what are you even it feels like there's so much to lose and also so much to gain potentially, and it's terrifying. It does feel like the end of the two-party system, which a lot of people would be like yes about, but in favor of what?
Yeah.
You know, and I also agree, yeah, it would be great if we existed in a world in which everyone could vote and whoever's in, but we're on a two-party system for a reason, you know, like it's the way to get things done.
Yes.
The Seattle liberals are going to murder me. I'm one of them. But I really do think, generally speaking, having this two-party system,
you can say it works
in general, and I don't think it's the best system. I think it's the best system we have for now, because my worry would be like fracturing the vote with another party. But my concern now is, what are the parties even? Like, there are less Republicans than ever. That doesn't mean in the last couple of years people totally changed their ideologies. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, is a good thing in a way. They no longer associate themselves with the party of Trump. That's good. The people who do are doubling down. And what that means is horrible, racist, sexist, garbage things. And I would be hard-pressed to find someone who can convince me otherwise, honestly.
Right. Well, and the party of Trump, the establishment Republican Party as it stands now, is not a party that argues in good faith the way, you know, Meghan McCain does, or the way that we can sometimes have these arguments, but, you know, with our friends, our very dwindling set of friends who are either moderates or Republicans. And those lines of communication need to be open. It is crucial. And in the hopes that we can come to an understanding, because it is so much harder to get into a fight and to vilify people that you know and people mm-hmm. that you respect. And for, and you know, the way that my dad will frequently, like,
shout out to Nick, one of my favorite humans in the world. Yes.
He frequently will say, especially when talking to conservative family members, is like, look, we agree. Like, let's start off with where we agree. You know, we can both agree. I you know, for instance, on taxes, we can both agree that there should be a system that is widely considered fair, that mm-hmm. everyone should pay their fair share. So regardless of what your income is after a certain point, you know, after kind of getting above a median mm-hmm. threshold, out of past the poverty line, everyone should be paying a certain amount. So we can agree on that, and mm-hmm. and let's work from where we agree, and then let's try to work through the bits that we disagree on, because surely there is some reasonable way to make progress. Mm-hmm. We are at a complete standstill in terms of Republicans and Democrats not even listening to each other, but beyond that, attributing the absolute worst mm-hmm. faith to the other side. I mean,
I'm guilty.
Well, we're all guilty. Well, a lot of us are guilty of that at times, but then we see it seeping through in the Kavanaugh hearings, which I think was felt like just the tinder box of like of horror. It was like the apex of everything that has been building when Lindsey Graham, you know, had his utter unacceptable meltdown that Americans viewed that we saw it in two different ways. And it was purely based on if you were Republican or Democrat, pretty much.
Right. And it's like, I do, as much as I'm always sassy on this side, you know, I truly, genuinely, in depths of my soul, want to have conversations with people who disagree with me and understand why, and don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse, which is also like kind of a sad expression when you think about
yeah, it. Yeah, it is pretty sad.
Yikes! What are we doing? Oh, we would, America. Like, I want to get to a place again where we can have these discussions, and you know, it's Meghan McCain's, where it's like, I'm really frustrated with you because I do think I'm right, but I do want to hear your opinion, and you are arguing it, and you care about it. And you care about human beings, and it's coming from a place within your heart and your mind and your soul versus this, whatever we have right now, which is just this like racist, sexist, anti-immigrant, anti-most people mm-hmm. platform, where it's like, if someone, back in the day, someone says they're Republican, I'm not gonna lie, there's a place in my brain where I'm like, okay, I'll listen to you, and I will listen to you, but like, sure, I've been guilty of being like, all right, well, I have my mind made up to a certain extent about this person because mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. To now where if someone is a current Trump supporter, not someone who had voted for Trump necessarily, because I've talked to those people, but yeah. Someone who still stands by their Trump vote, I find a really hard time understanding where they're coming from outside of a place of race or sex or things like that, because I'm somewhat an intelligent person. I don't understand how you get there without all those other things, you know? And so mm-hmm. the fact that, or the thought that the new, and I'm not even gonna call them Republican Party, because I don't think it's the Republican Party. It's whatever is happening now is not representative of most people that subscribe to those beliefs even necessarily, but I miss being in a place where we can actually talk to each other, but at the same time, it's, if you're still a Trump supporter, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so much data and evidence and feelings and thoughts and just words from people on the other side too. Like, you know, if you're on any sort of social media, not to be the person to be like, oh, you know, but you have the information available to you, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying, oh, if you're Republican, you're wrong. But if you support Trump right now, like, I don't, understand why, outside of all these like sort of terrible racist, sexist buzzwords, which aren't just buzzwords, but also are ways in which a lot of people live their lives.
Yeah. It seems like I know that this is obviously hurtful to people who are Trump supporters, but like, it's really,
don't support him.
It's really hard to get around, like, you're operating from a place of ignorance. And whether it's willful or not, because there are facts. And that's part of, I mean, that's, again, that is part of what is so upsetting and destabilizing is the fact that we can't even agree on a string of things that are true.
Mm-hmm. What's real?
What is real? I mean, it is like the fabric of reality is completely fucked with in the era that we are in. And that continues to be really hard to get around when you're trying to have a conversation with a Trump supporter. Because you can say, for instance, like, you know, I had a conversation with my uncle where we were talking about the Kavanaugh hearings. It did not go well.
Spoiler alert.
It went poorly. And I value the fact that we can have those conversations and there is a trust and a respect. But the fact that when we really get down to even just the brass tacks of what was happening, you know, I tried to sort of break down specific things and say, but can you not understand why it's upsetting to me that, for instance, like the lawyer, the female prosecutor,
God.
You know, when I sort of said something and like, again, I do not want to dive into Kavanaugh. We will get to that another time.
He'll be part of things forever.
But just trying to point out, okay, well, if there's like this part of the hearing that was supposed to go a certain way, and this was an agreed upon thing on both sides, do you not understand why then it is infuriating to me that, for instance, like she was ditched after she interrogated Christine Blasey Ford and then all the men were allowed to just sort of get up on their soapboxes one by one. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, whatever, God, the male rage was suddenly like everyone's like jerking it to like, you know, this male rage that, ooh, these like, you know, it almost felt like, oh, these like virile men, like LOL, Lindsey Graham, Chuck Grassley, and
oof, like, Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, there's,
hey, Lindsey Graham, I'm never gonna fuck you.
There's nothing.
Let the record show, I'll never fuck you, Lindsey Graham.
There's nothing virile about
you
it.
Be down.
Oh my God. Ugh. but no, that's just gross. That, like, there's no, and we just, we, there were, there was pretty much no line of fact that we could agree on as like two intelligent, sentient human beings who were paying attention to the news.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't even agree on facts. And that is a huge problem.
It's huge. That's what blows my gasket.
Yeah.
You know, like when you have, you know, Trump tweeting about how the Republicans are going to defend your pre-existing conditions in healthcare when, and I know this has been like, again, dead horse. Sorry, dead horse. But again, been beaten the dead horse about it. Like, it's, there are certain things that are facts and fiction. And I think for a long time, I took for granted the fact that, like, a lot of politics, there is a gray area and there are facts. And you can kind of look at those facts. And I mean, I'd say they'd have a liberal leaning. But you can look at these facts and draw your own conclusions. And that's sort of like the beauty of America, as frustrating as it can be, regardless of what side you're on. And I truly feel like we've lost that. And, you know, and like, I have pre-existing conditions. Most people I know have pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
My mother, who had cancer, got a job so that she could have health insurance because of pre-existing conditions. And she was a fucking card-carrying Republican till the end. Like, oof. And I just, And I do think that there's so many people that are buying into this, that are being hurt by it, that aren't, because I think that if you believe certain things, or if you look to your elected officials in a certain way, you want to believe they're telling you the truth. And I don't think that that's, I mean, I don't think it's stupid. I think maybe it's naive, and I've been there, and I've done that, and I will do that again, where you believe in an elected official and you believe what they're telling you is true because you want to believe in their whole mission. And if, you know, the Jenga pieces start falling apart, the dominoes pieces, whatever game you're into. But it's just, some things are true or they're false. And I think that the thing that has just really gotten my goat about this whole thing, beyond the repercussions for communities I care about and communities that I'm part of, is this complete dismissal of the facts. Not even dismissal, just they don't, it's not like, oh, this is what's true and I'm just going to slide it under. It's not even consulting what is true. It's just, I want this to be true, or I want my base to believe this, I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. And how many people who deserve better or should have better, should at least have the option to know what is happening, are being hoodwinked and bamboozled by somebody who says, I'm the largest crowd in my inauguration. Look at the pictures. I had, you know, we're going to defend you and you're going to have your pre-existing conditions covered. You're not, like, all these things that just aren't true, that I don't blame people who aren't spending all their time on, you know, the different political sites. The same thing. Just, Maria.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do with it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
how do we get, like, especially when people think media is the enemy or the left's the enemy or the right's the enemy, and someone's the enemy. It's just, you don't even look for what's real anymore. You look for who your side is, who your party is, who your person is. And then you lose a lot.
and already have lost a lot. I mean, we have lost standing in the eyes of the world and the international community, mm-hmm. laughed at quite literally at the UN, rightfully.
I'm glad they did.
I know. This country, there's so much to be proud of, mm-hmm. in this country. There is so much greatness in this country, and I do believe that. And I think that We are unique. The way that the country was founded and the principles, while we absolutely never really have lived up to those lofty principles.
Hey, Native Americans.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, just most communities, really most communities, you know, except for white landowning men.
It's good to have land.
Yes. Yes, indeed. But there's a lot of good, and there's a lot to be proud of. And the history of America is fraught and uncomfortable, to put it lightly. I mean, and devastating at many times. But if we can be in touch with that history, with our history and with global history, but, you know, really, if we're thinking about in the context of making America great again, that phrase, we really need to think about America, think about the history of America and the parts that made it, quote, great or make it great, and the many, many dark, unacceptable, devastating, evil things that also make up this country's founding, this country's development, all the way through until the present. And I think maybe, like you've heard me say this a million times, but I absolutely credit my history teachers in middle school and high school with making me uncomfortable. It's kind of as simple as that, like, mm-hmm. being confronted with uncomfortable truths at an early age and having that sort of childish, instinctual, knee-jerk, like, that can't be true. That can't be true. You're wrong. That's not comfortable. I don't want to be told that, like, I don't deserve my happy life, mm-hmm. you know? But I needed to be told that, because you have to hear that and then work backwards from that. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, it's not that you shouldn't have it and you don't deserve it because you suck. It's just you don't deserve it more than other people.
Right. And you have it.
And think you about have it. That.
Be grateful and think about what you can do to make it a more even playing field for other people.
Yes. And that's and proceed through the world with that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And if more people were confronted with that, if more people really thought about, it's okay to be uncomfortable mm-hmm. with America.
You should be.
You should be.
That's how you learn. That's how you grow. And also, like, we did a lot of shitty things as a country. White people do the worst.
It's how we get better.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think we all, it would be great if every human in this country had a teacher like that or several teachers like that who exposed them to that idea and made them really think about it in a real way. And I think a lot of people, like, I had a lot of good teachers, but I never had that specifically. I took a Teen Vogue quiz when I was, like, 13. I was like, oh, I guess I'm a Democrat. My parents are Republicans. What? Hey?
You're awakening via Teen Vogue.
I know. One of the many things where I differ from my family. Also, yeah, Teen Vogue's on fleek lately. Like,
yeah,
shout
Lauren
out.
Duca.
Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think regardless of what side you're on, I think it's important. Like, the same way my dad, who was super conservative, and now I didn't brainwash him, but now he's leading much more love. But it wasn't about, like, trying to change someone else's mind. It was about trying to have conversations where people understood where the other person was coming from in a real way, and you actually cared and thought about it. And even if your mind doesn't change, usually it doesn't, just caring and listening and taking it in and trying to learn, which sounds very cliche after school story kind of thing. But if we all did that, the world would be better. The country would be better. Everything would be better. And I think we've lost that. And I'm part of the problem with the divisiveness right now, because I just don't. Trump supporters, present day, I have a hard time identifying with and understanding. And I, you know, so you know what? I'm going to do better. I'm going to try to do better. But
yeah, I mean, and I would like to do better. And I think that that's
but also just, fuck their bullshit sometimes.
Right. Continue. Of course, fuck their bullshit. I mean, fuck your ignorant bullshit also, you know, like, I think it can be both things. Like, following Trump blindly with his making America great again and kind of laughing off his jabs at the his dismissals of the press and calling them enemies and his, you know, encouraging violence against journalists and violence against protesters and, you know, just his general amorality is not okay. It is unacceptable.
And there's no excuse for it. And that's the thing. It's like if any sort of, I think that's where you and I both kind of agree and why we both have a hard time having this dialogue with certain people versus just like general Republicans or conservatives or whatever, is the rhetoric he uses, the actions he tries to take, everything funnels into and or supports horrible, horrible things that leave people, best case scenario, worse off, worst case scenario, quite literally dead. Yeah. And so with that, it's just like, well, what's the point in like a meaningful political discourse when you're saying things that are causing Jewish people to lose their lives, Black people to lose their lives, people of color who are not Black people, immigrants, LGBTQ people? Like, it's just that, I think, is where I lose, where we both Mm-hmm. not to speak for you, where we both kind of lose our empathy, our sympathy, and our patience.
Yeah.
Because a debate is all and well until, you know, there are bodies on the ground and there are people who have lost family members who their whole life, like, it's just the effect of one human being losing their life ricochets across the community. And then you have people denying the Holocaust, denying Sandy Hook, denying all these things. And then it's just where... And it's hard not to lump Trump supporters all into this one group, because, you know, these Meghan McCains, who I used to have these debates with, don't believe that either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like this new fringe that is actually the new Republican Party. And then you're sort of left, you know, swimming without a paddle, figuring out how do I do this the right way, you know, when sometimes they're... Isn't, and like, I maybe cut this, but I understand. I understand. Violence is never the answer, and I condone it. It will never solve anything. It will make everything so much worse. It breaks my heart. But I understand how people get to that point when you have that rhetoric. Because it's like, well, they're doing this, and I need, what about my life and my family and everyone who I care about? And what am I supposed to do when you have people plowing through protesters and, you know, the guy at the top saying, you know, there are good people on both sides and all this shit. What do you do?
Well, when you... If you are looking and you feel that your body, your autonomy, your life is not valued by the President of the United States or by the Attorney General, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
I want to... what's something I can say where I won't be...
investigated?
I mean, the FBI is not looking at our podcast right now, but I will say... Jeff Sessions, I would have words with him. I would have fisticuffs with him. And I would win.
You would win.
I would win.
Oh, my God.
This is not a threat, but Jeff Sessions, come at me after school.
Yeah. So, and this is, of course, a to-be-continued conversation. But
forever.
Like, literally forever. But it is, it adds an extra kind of... weight, a heavy-heartedness, word I just made up, to...
Wow.
I know.
Wordsmith.
You know.
Yeah.
But just on top of all of the ill-conceived, quote-unquote, policies and evil shit that is going on in our government, and there's... You know, there's still kids in cages and little children that are trying to commit suicide because they are separated from their parents. And there's there is so much that is
so much
horrific.
So many little kids trying to kill themselves.
Right.
For all kinds of reasons because it's gay.
But here we are trying to figure out how we can do better and... how we can bridge this gap and try to create some sort of meaningful dialogue with people who identify as conservatives and even people who are Trump supporters. And on the eve of the midterms, where we have, we're both balls of anxiety, everything feels very dire, very level 10, kind of end of the world shit. I think it is very interesting that where we both go and where the conversation goes is to try to find some common ground.
Yeah. Got to protect all the humans.
Oh, God. Protect the humans and...
weep.
And weep. So, yeah, I guess with that, we can maybe move to We See You.
Let's do it, baby.
Baby, I wanted to start with something that really pissed me off. I know, I'm always so level-headed, and you know.
Well, you know what you are. It's it is rational to be upset about things sometimes, and fuck the world.
Fuck the world. An evangelical Christian delegation met with Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who was credibly accused of ordering the brutal murder and dismemberment of the Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi the day before his wedding. Still something that's so... horrific. Like, and it, that detail deserves to continue to be mentioned. Yeah.
And one thing as I cut you off as you're talking, it's just one thing that I haven't heard talked about that I just... He was a human man. He was a human fucking being. And he had, like, an excruciating last few, I don't know, 7 minutes, they say, he was alive as he was dismembered. And he was a person. He was a fucking person. And that's one thing I just hadn't really I didn't see any sort of, I think after a lot of things you see the, sorry, I'm totally, but you see like this sort of, oh, this is what this person was and who they were and what they believed in and who they cared about and who cared about them. And I feel like he, because it was so politicized, which it should have been, you kind of lost that.
Yeah.
So like, thank you for being a journalist.
Yeah.
And fuck that. And you mattered. And
yeah.
Like, oh God, human beings. All right.
Thank you for the invaluable work that you did and for living your life with integrity and, you know, and it does just, it totally breaks my heart that he had found love and was about to get married. And, you know, on a semi-lighter note, it does remind me of that scene in like season 4 or 5 of 24 where like Jack gets abducted and Audrey's outside, whatever.
Yeah, it's 24.
But it does feel like that. And I think everyone should know those details. His wife was waited outside for him while he was being dismembered. She had no idea. And she waited until 1 a.m. Waiting for him. Like, oh, you know, just everyone should know that. Okay.
No, it's heartbreaking and terrible. And thank you.
So, you know, with all of that in mind, you know, this was ordered by the incredibly wealthy. I mean, wealthy doesn't even really capture it. This is like a trillionaire, the Prince of Saudi Arabia. So MBS, Mohammed bin Salman. So he met with an evangelical Christian delegation of leaders that they went for a relationship building meeting. And I just kind of want to point out, you hypocritical motherfuckers, you know, I thought that you had an unwavering commitment to protect the sanctity of life. So where did that go?
Where the hell you at?
Where the hell you at? We see you, okay? We see you. That's unacceptable. And I almost went in, I almost went in even worse on evangelical, white evangelicals. But I did, there was a really interesting New York Times Daily today on, even white evangelicals in Texas and some of the women who are breaking from the church on the issue of the like border control and the immigrants coming in, and because they come down on the side of, as they say, like the sanctity of life. So I was gonna go in on even broader, shittier statements that I am glad that I heard that that daily today, because it's unfair. There are a lot of, there are white evangelical women and, you know, maybe a couple of men who recognize that if they do claim to care so deeply about the sanctity of life, that that should be applied to all lives.
Yes. Yes.
That was a rambling. We see you, but we see you. Okay. Bah.
You've been seen.
You've been seen.
Talk about Donya Quinn.
Okay, yes, yeah. So Donya Jones, and this is just a heads up. This one is really, I know we did just talk about a journalist being dismembered, but this one's also, this is racial violence. So if that,
it's all happening.
If that's too upsetting, you can skip a little bit, maybe a couple minutes. Donya Jones is a 24-year-old son of a prominent Ferguson activist. And he was found hanging from a tree in his mother's backyard. She believes he was lynched based on the fact that her son was not depressed, as far as she knew. He was starting up a real estate business. The sheets he was hung from were not from her home, and the knots were advanced, the knots in the sheets. The death is being investigated as a suicide, and while it is important to note that suicides can happen even when there aren't outward signs, I think we should give significant weight to this mother in her grief and her instincts, the suspicious facts that were at the scene, and the fact that this is the fourth suspicious murder of a Ferguson protester. Three others have been killed in the last couple of years, gunshot wounds to the head, and two of those people were found torched in vehicles. So I just think we should keep an eye on this. We see you. And I hope that these families find peace and justice. It just is something that I wanted to call out because it makes me super sad.
It's, I mean, it's believable, but also unbelievable. And yeah, was it? No, like, fuck, it wasn't. those knots. I just...
Doesn't seem like it was suicide.
No. In purple vagina news, there's a gynecologist with a very Barry King. So he dyed a patient's vagina purple. As a joke.
Ha 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 ha.
For like her husband to find out. It's like a ha ha, her vagina's purple. And this isn't like the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. But also, it is an assault. It is, you go to the doctor and you don't think that your genitalia will be the subject of a prank, right?
Yeah.
So that happened. He didn't deny doing it. He dyed her vagina purple because ha ha. And he is going to avoid any jail time or any real repercussions for the actions. So cool. And she was coming out of like a cancer diagnosis, and this was like a very intense doctor's visit for her, and instead of going home feeling like, you know, my doctor has my best interest at heart, she went home being like, oh, my vagina's purple as a joke. She didn't find out until her husband told her. She was worried something was wrong with her, which after having a cancer diagnosis doesn't sound great. So fuck you, Barry King. We see him.
Yeah. And didn't she go in because she thought she had a legion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she went in terrified that she had more cancer or something horrible was happening within her body, and left the victim of a practical joke at the hands of her gynecologist.
Why don't you lighten up? That sounds hilarious.
Hilarious. Every time I see the gynecologist, God, I'm going to dye his dick purple. Yeah, I'm doing my part. Also, another wonderful news. So right-wing hate groups are doing cool things. They're recruiting online gamers.
That feels like fertile ground.
Yep. Well, also, this is, according to the Pew Research Center, 97% of boys and 83% of girls play video games online. And these groups are specifically targeting the sort of the shooter one-person games. So they're trying to recruit teens, impressionable teens, to joining white supremacy groups. The father of one targeted teen told NPR that members of these groups talked to his son about problems he was having at school, learned about who he was, and then suggested his African-American classmates as being responsible. Also, according to his father, they identified, and by they I mean the extremists, identified his interests in military history, Nordic mythology, and used the interests that they learned about him to further form a bond with them and then sort of tailor their recruiting tactics to his interests.
Jesus.
And at least one of these groups that was recruiting him, one of the ones that could be identified, had already been identified as a Nazi terrorist organization by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Trying to systematically gain support for her endless ideas by using impressionable teens. We see you.
We see you.
We see you.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How terrible.
Yup.
Well, that's bullshit. Should we end with something good?
I think we should. Do you want to talk about a sweet little... I have no more gay penguin news. Maybe let's talk about like a sweet little girl who saw something really lovely and then did something really lovely and is believing in herself and maybe will be our president.
I hope so. Yeah. There was an adorable girl that charmed the internet, I think, over the summer because there was a picture of her just in absolute awe of the portrait of Michelle Obama. And it was heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
And she emerged on the internet, thank goodness, like a ray of sunshine, because she dressed as Michelle Obama in that portrait for Halloween.
Yeah, and stuck with her.
Oh.
Yay.
Oh, my God.
Little people having, like, the visions of themselves that they want to be reflected in some sort of thing and then being able to...
Oh, my God.
She's also cute as shit.
Yeah, I would recommend.
Let the record show, she's very cute.
I would recommend looking
that matters. Wow, she's a very girl.
Yeah, that was super cute. Mm-hmm. So, yay!
Yay! Hope the world's not gonna burn tomorrow. We got a bottle of wine here, but we haven't broken into it yet.
It's called restraint.
We drinking tea.
We drinking tea. Oh, God. All right. Well, see you on the
flip side.
See you on the flip side.
Maybe it'll be handmaids. I don't know.
Under his eye.
Under his eye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye.